women have a propensity to think about the benefit of the collective, not just their own individual gain. And this is something that right now, in terms of our climate, in terms of the breakdown of logistics and supply chain, this is something that we really need right now. So when we talk about bridging that gap, it's not just because women and men need to be equal, but it's because women are bringing something different.
Welcome to Venturing Women, a podcast about female founders, investors, and ecosystem enablers.
Hi, this is Daria Kamkalova. What is gender investment gap? Much more often, we hear another term, gender pay gap. And I'm glad that it's getting more and more attention every year. Gender investment gap is less widely discussed. However, it plays a significant role in the economy. It is the difference between the amount of investment women and men receive, particularly in the venture capitalist space. So, what kind of gap are we talking about? All women startup teams receive less than 3% of the venture capital globally, whilst male-led startups collect 89% of it. 3% versus 89%. And as if this statistics wasn't depressing enough, the trend is negative. Since 2016, it's been getting only worse. This episode is a recording of a panel discussion that I built and moderated at the Women's Empowerment Convention. The event took place on the 8th of March, on the International Women's Day, in the Dubai Opera, and was organized by the Women's Empowerment Council. And here are my illustrious speakers. Lucy Chow is the general partner at the World Business Angels Investment Forum, and a member of the steering committee of the movement 2022 Female Angels. Lucy has been recently recognized by Arabian Business as one of 50 inspiring female business leaders 2022. Katie Wexberger is co-founder of Dana Global, an Abu Dhabi-based venture builder and investment platform for women-led startups in desert tech. And if you're wondering, what the hell is desert tech? It includes agri-tech, food tech, renewable energy, water solutions, and circular economy. Mirjana Centini is senior partner at Global Ventures, an international venture capital firm. She's also the founder of Companies Creating Change, a UAE-based social enterprise helping impact-driven entrepreneurs in the Middle East and Africa to unlock their growth potential and maximize their positive impact on the community. Vera Futuriansky is the CEO and founder at Veritas Ventures, a global strategic advisory firm. She's also an investor at Launch Africa Ventures. Just like Lucy, Vera is in the steering committee of the 2022 Female Angels. She's a serial entrepreneur and is currently building a community for female leaders. And now let's examine the phenomenon of the gender investment gap and look at ways to bridge it.
Welcome and happy International Women's Day.
Happy International Women's Day.
Before we dive into the reasons behind gender investment gap, I really want to talk about its consequences. Why is it even important to discuss this topic? What are the consequences for the society?
I can start. We always talk about this gender gap, and I'm sure many of you have heard of the World Economic Forum statistics that say we need 132 years to bridge the gender gap. I don't know about you, but I would love to see it during my lifetime still. And as much as I wish I would live 132 more years, I believe in longevity, but I'm not sure I'm going to make it. So I think it's super important we talk about it now and we discuss it. We'll make sure we move the needle, not just by talking about it. All of us know that we need more women in tech. We need more women on the decision-making side. But how can we really move that needle for sure and make the difference and close that gender gap on all levels, pay gap, any societal, economical, and political gaps we have out there? So super important, especially to bring younger women into that, that they from early age understand they have a seat at the table as much as men do. I'm very passionate about this, like you can tell.
Which is great. This is why I wanted to have you on stage today. I totally agree with you. I really want to see it before I die or age. But what if not? What if it doesn't happen? What we will see as a society, Katie?
I think it's an interesting question. And I think generally one of the questions that I grapple with a lot is to what extent should we be differentiating between men and women? Now, my company is specifically accelerating and investing in women-led startups. And this is a question that, you know, are we different or are we the same? And when we look at the gaps and when we look at should women and men be doing the same thing or should we be emphasizing what's different about us? And one of the things that I think is really important is that there are some things that women are just better at. And one of those things in my opinion, from what I've seen in our founders and our companies, is that women have a propensity to think about the benefit of the collective, not just their own individual gain. And this is something that right now, in terms of our climate, in terms of the breakdown of logistics and supply chain, this is something that we really need right now. So when we talk about bridging that gap, it's not just because women and men need to be equal, but it's because women are bringing something different. And we have to understand what is that contribution that women are bringing and how do we empower women to bring specifically what we are better at.
So what are these things that are different? What do women bring to the table?
For me, it's about diversity of thoughts, in particular when it comes to an early stage startup or an investment committee, having a mix of gender, having a mix of cultures, backgrounds, ages. It helps just making better decisions. It's bringing new perspectives to the discussion. So it's really about diversity of thoughts more than anything else. And also, in particular, when we talk about gender, there is a 50% market out there, 50% of the population. It's a market that we want to tap into. And if you don't have that perspective, I wonder how easy or difficult it is to target it.
I was just going to go back to what Katie was saying. Just like if you educate a woman, the propensity for her to make sure her children are educated is amplified. Same thing when you make sure a woman is independent and able to fund herself, then she also brings up not only her family, but she also tends to bring up other women at the same time. The whole thing is to try to pull others up with you when you're succeeding.
So this is what Kato was talking about, this community component.
Precisely.
Women are the backbone of the economy, of the families. Amplifying a woman, you amplify a whole community.
Also, we have statistics that women return more on every dollar invested. So there are statistics out there that on every dollar invested in a female startup, she returns, I think, 82 cents versus 34 to a man. It's a BCG study that you can look into. So we actually have this data. You would think it's enough, right, for investors to think, okay, investing in a female-funded startups will bring me more return on investment. But that data still, maybe very slowly, but it doesn't really change things substantially. So I've also been, for the past years, on the tech side as a founder in VC, I've been thinking, what can we change, really? What needs to change? And I think it was mentioned already, education is super important, right? We need to educate women. In general, women invest less. We take less risks, they say. I don't know. I think it's a very individual thing. Most women I know take a lot of risks, but we are more diligent in, let's say, due diligence for startups. I was just talking at dinner yesterday with a startup here in the region, and she was saying, I asked her, what is the difference from male partners from VC firms and female partners? And she said, with female partners, our due diligence process was much longer and much more thorough. So women really take the time to allocate their money, which is great. They lose less.
True. And they perform better. Absolutely. True.
And perform better. Not answering the question that I have to myself, how can we make a substantial change? But
we'll come to that.
Yeah.
We'll come to
hopefully
that.
We'll resolve it in the next 23 minutes.
Absolutely. The way I look at it is the following. I firmly believe that two types of people run the world in a way. They shape the world we live in. It's investors and founders. Founders build products and services that we all use in our daily lives, and investors then either financially support those products and services and founders or not. So if these two categories of people are highly homogenous, if it's just men, it also means that what we're talking about before, the perspective, it also means that the types of products and services that hit the market are also pretty similar. And for me, it means that as humanity and as society, we do not use the full potential or full economical and creative potential. We do not tap into those markets as Medea was.
Can I just jump in with one thing very quickly? And this is not to be controversial, but it's interesting.
Please be.
Okay.
Please be.
Okay. But so
we need
it's
a little bit of scandal here, you know, a little bit of tension.
You should have brought a man on the panel then.
If you look at who funded Pinterest and House and Stitch Fix, the majority of people that funded those companies were men. So it makes me realize, okay, so they understand pain points, right? Even if they can't necessarily relate to why this company would benefit them personally. So there's got to be some disconnect where we're not getting more funding.
And what are the main reasons then behind this gap, not enough funding?
one of the questions we always get asked is it because that women are not as investable? And that just, I don't know.
Oh, Medea is just shaking.
Yeah, exactly, Medea. Okay, I'm leaving it to you.
Okay, I'll jump in. And I don't have an answer, but I've observed a few things while at Global Ventures as well at C3. I'm having two hats. I founded an accelerator platform. So I asked the fresh stats just yesterday to the team, which is, by the way, more women than men. So, and our founder at Global Venture is a woman.
This is not typical. This is not typical because I think only about 15% of venture capital investors are women.
So we have a pipeline that has about 15% of founders that have a mixed teams. So 15% of founders we see have at least one co-founder, which is a woman.
It's 1.5 or
1.5. 1.5. 15%. We have looked at 6,000 companies in the last 3 years. We invested in 57. We invested in 26% with a co-founding team that has a woman, so without quotas. And we can discuss quotas later, which I'm a little bit against.
We'll have a fight on stage. This is beautiful.
But without having quotas, we kind of found amazing female founders in the founding team. And 15% of our portfolio is purely female founding team. It's not enough, 15% coming across. And we invest in basically 1% of the people we see. And we have a duty to our LPs to invest in the best ideas, in the best founding team. And we have a mandate. So we always have a mandate that we cannot really get out of so easily. So I do think there are not enough female founders out there. And we did a lot of things, mentorship programs. We scouted on purpose. We involved LPs that are also females. So we have no minimum tickets for our LPs. LPs are our investors. We call them limited partners. But again, it's still not where we would love to be. We would love to have a 50-50. So how many founders here?
Can you raise your hands?
Okay.
That's awesome.
Awesome.
That's
awesome.
A lot.
At least 50% of
wonderful ladies.
Oh, this is great. Katie?
So first of all, I'm excited to see so many founders here and just giving you guys an extra push because I know how hard it is. So we work very closely with our founders. We work very hands-on with all of the companies that come through Dana. And we look for companies that first and foremost have a patent, that have something that is new in the climate, in the desert tech space. And there are lots and lots of women who are doing incredible scientific research on the chemistry, the biology, the hardware for climate tech and for our sectors. And still, you would see like that we're not talking about femtech. We're not talking about very niche topics. We're talking about sectors that are really growing in terms of the capital that's going into them internationally. And still, our companies have a really hard time fundraising, especially in this region, less so in the US and in Europe. So we're excited to be writing our first checks as investors in Q2 this year. And I think one of the reasons is we really just don't see enough women investors. We don't see enough women as angel investors specifically, and which is why what Lucy is doing is so important, because in the end of the day, you need that first kind of like stamp of approval. When you raise that first, even if it's like 10K.
Somebody believed in you.
Someone was like, I'm going to put my money on you. And that's really where the angels come in. A lot of founders don't even get to the stage where they're raising from VCs because they couldn't get that first person to write that first check. There are enough women with capital. Almost 1/3 of the liquid capital here in the GCC is in the hands of women. We need to make it more trendy to invest in startups. It needs to be something that people want to talk about, that people want to brag about, that women want to sort of show off. Yeah, like that startup is mine.
Let's do it right now. Has anyone invested in startups? Has anyone acted as an angel investor?
Yes.
A round of applause. Yes. Congratulations.
That's great.
We need more of you.
Yeah, we'll talk more about how we want more of you.
Yeah.
Exactly. On that note, actually, if you want to start investing, I want to give a shout out to Female Angels. There's a group called Female Angels 2022. And it's so easy to start. Now, we always have this bias. It's something for men or it's so difficult. But to start investing, I angel invest as well. And to give that support to a young female founder can be life-changing for her. There are boot camps, there's education, how to become a female angel investor. We need to break the bias of becoming an LP. So like
LP
was mentioning,
a limited
partner
investor.
In a fund. Most limited partners and funds are men as well. I'm an LP in an African fund called Launch Africa, and they have 200 LPs. Only 9 of them are women. I'm one of the only 9 women an LP in that fund. And that's also not so difficult. It's a bit of a larger check than an angel investment, but you learn so much because you really learn from the inside how the whole reporting structure works. I don't have any real estate, so I usually encourage more women to invest in startups than in real estate, but that's me being maybe very non-risk averse, but I encourage everybody to look into that.
But actually at least 10-15% of any portfolio, personal investment portfolio, should go into risky investments to be healthy. At Global Ventures, we have 29 over 180 LPs that are female. So it's about 16%, but they contribute only 6% of the capital. So again, it's less women than men and smaller tickets, which is not a reflection, I'm pretty sure, of their wealth. It's more of a portfolio.
Let's talk about that. So this is a very common theme that I hear a lot. Why do women invest less money when they begin investing as angels, or if they join funds as limited partners? What is the reason behind it? Is it about disposable wealth, that women, generally speaking, have less money than men? Is it about something else? Again,
So in North America, for instance, and here, the fact is that women make less, right? So because we earn less, we have less disposable income.
Now, it goes back to the gender pay gap.
Gender pay gap. Yeah. Now let's take that away. Let's assume we all have a lot of money and that we're not linked to that gender pay gap. Women are risk aware versus being risk averse. Vera was saying that women are very good with their due diligence. That's why they will outperform the guys. It's the same when they're thinking about investing. They're going to take a little bit longer to decide. So there's also another gap, unfortunately, and it's called the confidence gap. So we need to ask more questions. It is very opaque, the whole investing world, all the terminology. We need to talk to people that are already angels, that have done it before, so that you start gaining that confidence in writing your first check.
I agree 100%, and there's definitely a pay gap element to it. I also think it has to do with education. I think about the way that we are brought up and what it means to be financially independent. So I think about a lot of my local women friends here who definitely make enough money to be angel investors or LPs. But the way that they think about managing their own capital doesn't come with independence. And I even think about myself. I didn't go to business school and I did not study finance. And I always felt that this is a world that I'm sort of being kept out of because of the jargon, because of how it's talked about, because of who are the people on the news talking about finance. They're all men. I always felt this is not my space. For the way that we bring up our daughters, the way that we talk to younger women, the way that we talk to our interns even. It's so important. This is not a black box. This is not rocket science. This is managing finances. It's something that anyone can do. If you have your head screwed on, you can understand it and just like take away some of the obscurity of it.
Can I follow up on this?
Sure.
So definitely one of the keywords is education, 100%. But another keyword is access. As a female founder, to have access to knowledge is one thing. But also on the investment side, usually the best deals are passed on in conversations. And that's probably men playing golf or in their membership club that are for men.
We should all start playing golf. Such a boring sport.
I don't think we should copy what men do. We should do something that we do ourselves. But women have to have more conversations about investing. And whenever I meet with my girlfriends, I try to always bring up the topic, be it crypto investment or deals. Men just do it much more often. So the best deals usually have male investors because of the access men have to their deals. I spoke to a family office representative the other day, and she was saying the best deals are passed on internally, and it's mostly men. And that's why men have this whole return on investment. They benefit so much from it is by having access. So access is so important. We need to make sure we have more conversations about investing. We have more conversations about really including women in those crucial conversations that can make a difference, both on the founder and on the investor side.
It's great that we started talking about how we can address the issue. It's on my list of questions, but I really want to hear some contrarian views in this panel. I think we all agree on the same thing, more or less. Let's add some tension here. Spence, one of the possible solutions to the gender investment gap is quotas, and Medea hinted that we're going to talk about it too. The percentage of female partners or general partners at venture capital funds is still very low. So the question is, do we need quotas for funds? Do we have to make sure that we impose a quota on how many women should be among general partners at a venture capital fund to make sure that we use their similarity bias to attract more women-led startups? Go for it.
Okay.
You first.
Feel free to contradict.
I'm so against quotas across the board. First of all, sometimes we cannot have quotas simply because we have promised our investors a certain type of investments. And again, if we put quotas, then we might jeopardize the purity of the decision, if you wish. But more than that, which is circumstantial, is context. When it comes to young women, feeling you have done a certain path, although it's meritocratic and everybody deserves to be where they deserve to be, if you know there is a quota, is it the same? Is it the same feeling inside our heart? I'm not sure. And would spark some doubts? I don't know. I just feel it kills a little bit that self-confidence, in particular at the beginning of a career. And it's a shame. Again, maybe because I started with studies in engineering in Italy, mechanical engineering in the 90s, we were over 300 and not a very open-minded people around me. The fact that I went through that hell for 6 years and ended up with my degree honors, it gave me so much confidence. In every single circumstances I was dealing with a male room, I wasn't worried because, again, I went through much worse in engineering school. But jokes apart, I feel it's a little bit of a confidence killer.
So I am very pro quotas, and it's because we are so far behind. If it wasn't so bad, if the statistics were not so bad, then I wouldn't be. But okay, so let me tell you how it actually works with the fund that I'm part of. So with the WBAF Angel Investment Fund, what happens is when we ask for submissions, we make sure that the submissions coming in, and we shortlist 50%, have at least one female founder. So it starts with that beginning of the pipeline. Then it's time to pitch. And so when we shortlist for due diligence, we also make sure that 50% pulled out for due diligence have at least one female founder. Now, it started with the pipeline. So because we start with the pipeline, coincidentally, we've never had to force it because we actually had awesome women that are founders. And then in the actual fund, we want to fund 50% of companies that have one female founder. So that's how we use quotas.
I personally don't think it's a matter of numbers as it is a matter of culture. There are some perspectives and skills that women have more of a propensity for. When we consider the kind of culture in the VC space or generally in the business world, there's a reason that there aren't so many women in these high positions. My co-founder at Dana has 4 kids. If the culture of my company looked like that of most of the venture studios or VCs, there's no way that she could be a founder of this company. It's really important that we think about how do we adjust these circumstances ultimately in a way to benefit our economy and our world, not because it needs to be more female friendly, but how will it benefit the collective when we have a business culture that is more allowing for people to have time with their families, which is more considerate of the climate? How will this affect our businesses? And we will see more women coming after. We don't need to engineer the numbers. We need to engineer the culture.
I really like this. We don't have to engineer the numbers. We have to engineer the culture. Great.
100%. Well, women are half of the population. And we always talk about it's so difficult to find talent, but women are the most underutilized resource we have on this planet, right? So I must say I am pro quotas because it goes back to what I was saying before on access. all the, be it board member positions or high level positions, they're being passed on to people that know each other. And that's why it's so male in the highest leadership. I'm not talking about this country. I'm talking about leadership in different corporates. So it's really important that we give women this access. And in order to get that access, we have to set some certain quotas. I agree with what Medea says, that it should be about quality and education and achievement. Yes, but if we don't even have access, no matter how qualified you are, how accomplished you are, if you don't know the right people who will open the door for you, that first door to become, let's say, a board member in a company where you get paid for it, then we need quotas for that. I think we just need to make sure more women get access to really high level and paid positions, because so many of us are on boards of social enterprises. Those are non-paid. And I see so few women on paid positions. We need to change that. We need quotas. We need to bring more women into high level positions.
Thanks for tuning in. If you like this show, share it with friends. Subscribe to our feed on Apple Podcasts or in your podcast app to never miss a new episode. Leave a review in the app you use. Reviews help us to get better and let more people discover this podcast. For updates, follow us on Instagram, LinkedIn, and Telegram